It's week four. Thank you for joining us for today's Florida League of Cities Monday morning call-in. For those of you that are new to the call-in, and I hope this there aren't many of you on the call, we start the call with each of the lobbyists discussing the key bills they're watching and working on this week and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, press star 9 on your phone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded, and an email will go out later today with a summary of the call, as well as a link to the call's recording. Please note, it's not possible to cover every single bill during a 30-minute call-in, but for a comprehensive list of bills that the league lobbyists are actively working on and monitoring, go to flcities.com, click on the legislative bill summaries under the advocacy tab. All right, buckle up, folks. It's week four. This week is going to be fast and furious, and we only have agendas through Wednesday. This is the last week of most of the subcommittees. So what we're seeing just by looking at the calendar this week is that subcommittees have longer blocks than usual, and there's lots of bills on House and Senate agendas. We hope some of you are tuning in from the road as you're heading to Tallahassee for our legislative action days. We have, I think, a great series of events for you over the next 3 days. Look forward to seeing you in person and appreciate you for tuning in. But here's an update from our lobbyists, on how you can help with some of the big bills that we're working on this year. So with that, I'll turn it over to Charles Chapman for our first update.
Good morning, everybody, and if you're traveling, hopefully you're having safe travels today, good weather, and a easy drive. So first up that I want to report out on is HJR 7017, and it's implementing bill HB 7019 by Representative Buchanan and the Ways and Means Committee. They're both up on the House floor this Thursday, February 1st at 3 p.m. HJR 7017 would place an initiative on the November 2024 ballot to amend the Florida Constitution to adjust homestead exemptions annually by the Consumer Price Index if the index is increasing. If the measure passes by 60% approval, homestead exemptions would increase by the percent of CPI annually. House Bill 7019 is the implementing bill. It contains provision that would offset negative financial impacts with state of Florida funds for fiscally constrained counties. The language does not include the cities within those counties. We have reached out to the House sponsor to seek amendment language to both HJR 7017 and HB 7019, still waiting for feedback from the House sponsor. The continued outreach to your legislators is needed to help us on these bills, especially in the Senate. These bills will negatively impact cities. It's a tax shift, not a tax cut, and it will hurt small businesses and renters. To date, there is no Senate companion. So the message for your senators is to not file a companion bill, or if they do, then it needs to have an offset for all of the negative impacts to all local governments and guardrails to cap the amount of homestead exemption may increase annually, the same way homestead property values increases are capped at 3% or CPI, whichever is lower. We please work with your professional staff if you have not already done so to determine the financial impacts of these bills on your budget. And please continue to help us by telling your story to your legislators about how these bills will impact your city. The next bill up is House Bill 609, Local Business Tax by Representative Botana. Its Senate companion is Senate Bill 1144 by Senator DeSigley. Talking about the House bill for a moment, we're closely watching the agenda in the House for the Ways and Means Committee, to see whether or not House Bill 609 will actually be heard this week in its first committee of reference. To date, it has not been heard, and so we are watching closely for that agenda deadline today at 4:30. What this bill would do would be completely eliminating Chapter 205 from Florida statutes, which means you would no longer be able to levy the local business tax or occupational tax, whichever term you use to coin that particular levy. So no more local business taxes should House Bill 609 or Senate Bill 1144 be approved by the governor. The Senate companion, Senate Bill 1144, has not been heard in its first committee of reference either. Its first stop is in community affairs, and it is not up on community affairs this week. So again, message to your senators is please, please keep this off of an agenda. The last bill I want to report off on is the House Bill 1195 and its Senate companion, Senate Bill 1322. House Bill 1195 is dealing with millage rates by Representative Garrison. It would require a two-thirds majority vote to raise millage rates by local governments. It has passed out of its first committee. The point that we need to really anchor here is that we firmly believe the majority rules in a representative democracy, and this bill empowers the minority votes on local government boards. In addition, if you consider all of these bills attacking local government revenues this session, this bill will make it harder for local governments to respond to the losses in revenues through their property tax millage rates. The next stop for House Bill 1195 is Local Administration Subcommittee. The agenda would post today at 4:30, and the meeting is scheduled for Wednesday at 2 p.m. The Senate companion I mentioned before is Senate Bill 1322 by Senator Angolia, and it has passed its first committee of reference, which was Community Affairs. Its next stop is the Senate Finance and Tax Committee, which the sponsor of the bill chairs that committee. The next scheduled meeting for Finance and Tax is next week on February 8th, and so we are actively watching and working this bill in order to try to keep it off the agenda. However, I do need to say again, the bill sponsor is the chair of the Finance and Tax Committee, so we need your help to tell the story, to apply pressure that this is not needed. There's enough guardrails for the increases in millage rates currently existing in law, and this is an extraordinary step moving forward. So with that, I'll kick it over to David.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everybody. Well, we picked a fantastic action-packed week for you all to be here for Legislative Action Days, and honestly, it's incredibly timely. We could really use your help on a couple of bills I'm going to talk to you about this morning, and I hope to see many of you throughout the week and in some of these committees that I'll be talking about. So first up is one of our priority issues dealing with sovereign immunity. This afternoon at 1:30 in the afternoon, the Senate Governmental Oversight and Accountability Committee will be taking up the Senate's sovereign immunity bill in its first committee of reference. An amendment has been filed to the bill. The bill number is Senate Bill 472 by Senator Broder, and the League of Cities is opposed to the bill. The amendment that's been filed to the bill, which will be the substance of the bill, is essentially doing the following. It would be increasing sovereign immunity caps in Florida from their current level of 200 and 300, increasing them to 400 and 600. It would then say that a political subdivision, which that would include cities, is allowed to settle any judgment rendered against it or any claim that you settle above the caps without having to do a claims bill. It would say this new provision that's in the bill, in this amendment, saying that you would be prohibited from lobbying against a settled claims bill. So if you settle something and then you later have to file a claims bill, you would not be allowed to lobby against that. It would then, these new caps that are established at 400 and 600, it would tie those to a CPI, which is a consumer price index that would allow them to increase for inflation. That would happen every 5 years. So every 5 years, the caps would be adjusted to go up for inflation. And then lastly, this amendment would include a provision that we do like. It would narrow the statute of limitations on negligence claims from 4 years to 2 years. That would be a positive fix in the bill. The bottom line, as you meet with legislators and discuss this, and hopefully many of you could attend the committee meeting and at least put in a card to wave in opposition to the bill, is that sovereign immunity increases will have a detrimental impact to our taxpayers. These claims are going to be paid by taxpayer dollars, and we would suspect substantial increases to our insurance and liability premiums in order to cover these increases. We feel like these bills are being pushed by trial lawyers for the benefit of the trial attorney rather than the injured parties. And so we are strongly opposed to the bills and will continue to work against them. So hopefully I'll see you in committee this afternoon on that one. Moving on to another pair of bills that are very important to the league, another priority issue dealing with mobility fees. These are actually bills that we support, and they're getting incredibly close to passing this year. And so I wanted to give an update on both of them. The first bill is House Bill 479 by Representative Robinson. Again, it's a bill that we support. It's going to be heard tomorrow morning in the House Commerce Committee. That's at 10 a.m. And so this is a bill that is being opposed by the counties and supported by cities. One of the most important things that the bill does is when dealing with transportation concurrency and impact fees for transportation, it makes a change in state law that would say the entity that approves the building permit is the sole local government entity allowed to collect that fee. So that means that if the city is the one approving the project, the city is the only one allowed to collect the fee, not the county. And so that is a provision in that bill that we are supporting. And so we would like to see you in that committee to support the bill. We expect there to be some opposition from counties. That Senate counterpart for that same bill is going to be up tomorrow as well. It's going to be in the Senate Transportation Committee at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's Senate Bill 688 by Senator Martin. And again, this is a bill that we support. The substance of the bill is exactly the same as the House bill at the moment. I would encourage you while you're meeting with your senators in the Senate Transportation Committee and letting them know that we support this bill to also encourage them to oppose any amendments that seek to increase the scope of the bill. We want to keep this bill narrowly focused and tailored to address the issue of mobility fees and not to be increased to capture other issues that could be detrimental to local government. So that's the update on both of those bills. I hope to see you all this week. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff Ranch.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Senate Bill 328, the Live Local Act Part 2, will be up on Wednesday in fiscal policy. It's its last stop. High level, the bill will eliminate the requirement for local governments to approve qualifying developments in industrial areas. It modifies the height preemption to be based on the highest currently allowable height within a quarter mile and qualifying developments that's within one quarter mile of a military installation would have to be approved by the governing body and not administratively approved. Last committee, the League, supported this bill because of the changes. We are expecting some amendments to be filed. We do not know what those would consist of, and so we will be monitoring it until those amendments drop. It is in its final committee stop. The House bill, which is 1239 by Representative Vicky Lopez, has not been heard in any of its committee. We'll keep you posted as we await the amendments. And with that, I will hand it over to Rebecca.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. This is Rebecca O'Hara. A couple of bills for you to know about this week. First, in the Senate Community Affairs Committee today, they will take up a bill relating to local government action. This is Senate Bill 1628 by Senator Collins. What this bill does is it revisits the local ordinance bill that passed last year dealing with the preparation of business impact statements. There were a series of exemptions to that requirement in last year's bill, including one that exempted ordinance adopted pursuant to Chapter 163, Part 2, the Growth Management Act. Senate Bill 1628 revisits that exemption, and it narrows it. It makes it smaller. So no longer exempt would be ordinances that adopt a comprehensive plan or a comprehensive plan amendment or an ordinance that adopts a land development regulation. Those would no longer be exempt from the newly passed local ordinance bill from 2023. The other thing this bill does is that it allows a affected business to petition the Public Service Commission, the Department of Agriculture, or the Department of Transportation if a local government's proposed action would adversely affect an identified sector. Identified sectors include anything related to food production, distribution, or transmission, anything relating to energy production, distribution, or transmission, or anything related to supply chain security, which isn't really well defined, but specifically includes ports and railroads. This bill would allow that business to petition one of those agencies to review the local action and provide an impact review. The agency has 45 days to provide this review. During that 45-day period, the local government's action and enforcement of that action would be suspended. local government would then have to consider the agency's impact review analysis at a public meeting. The local government is not required to repeal or modify the ordinance, but it is encouraged by the bill to take steps to mitigate any impact on those identified sectors. That's Senate Bill 1628. We are opposed. Also this afternoon, in the House Water Quality Supply and Treatment Subcommittee, they will be taking up a proposed committee bill, which is dealing with ratifying the statewide stormwater rule proposed by the Department of Environmental Protection. The proposed committee bill at this point is entitled WST1. Once they take up that bill and pass it, they will assign it a regular bill number. But this is a priority for the League to ratify those statewide rules. We'll be supporting that proposed committee bill. Tomorrow in the House Energy Communications and Cyber Subcommittee, they will be taking up a bill relating to the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, House Bill 972 by Representative Travolsky. The bill imposes a number of consumer protection requirements for both commercial and residential PACE programs, and it expands the types of projects eligible for PACE funding. Importantly for us, however, it also addresses the Florida PACE Financing Agency issue that was a priority statement for the League, which was to ensure that any entity enacting a PACE program through an interlocal agreement only applies that program within its respective jurisdictions. That's a positive change for us. On Wednesday, we are still awaiting the House Local Administration Subcommittee agenda to come out, but it is quite highly possible that the municipal utilities bills, both of them, which is House Bill 777 relating to eliminating water and wastewater surcharges, and House Bill 1277 relating to enterprise fund transfers. Both of those bills could be on that agenda, so we're going to keep an eye out for it. It should be noticed this afternoon by 4:30. And that is all for me. And next up, we have Sam Wagner. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everyone. I have a few bills that are up this week. House Bill 473 and Senate Bill 658, Cybersecurity Incident Liability, by Representative G. Lombardo and Senator DeSigley, respectively. We are in support of these bills. The Senate bill is up today in the Senate Judiciary Committee this afternoon at 4 p.m. The bill provides that a local government will not be liable in connection with a cybersecurity incident. If you are here this afternoon, I strongly encourage you to stop by the committee room and fill out a card in support of this Senate bill. The next bill I have is House Bill 1537, Vacation Rentals, by Representative Griffiths. This is the companion to Senate Bill 280 by Senator DeSigley that is now on the Senate floor. We are opposed to these bills. By 4:30 p.m. tomorrow, we will know whether the House Bill 1537 will be up in its first committee this Thursday. This bill is different from its Senate companion in that it requires a $150 fee and a $50 fee to register and renew a vacation rental instead of a reasonable fee. It has a $300 fine instead of a $500 fine. There is no funding for DBPR to handle the new complaints, and it allows a vacation rental to report their occupancy limit instead of the Senate bill, which states that those limits must be in accordance with the Florida Fire Prevention Code. And lastly, the process for revoking a vacation rental license is identical in both bills. It still remains at 11 strikes. To be clear, if you are a post-2014 city, these bills have the potential to replace what you currently have, and you should be letting your legislators know. The last bill I have is Senate Bill 1530, Unauthorized Public Camping, by Senator Martin. Its House companion is 1365 by Representative Garrison. We are currently monitoring these bills. The Senate bill is up in its first committee today at 1:30 p.m. in the Community Affairs Committee. These bills require local governments to remove and issue temporary permits to homeless who are camping on public lands or in rights of way. There is a liability component as well, where any person or business can sue a local government for a failure to adhere to the requirements of the bill. These are all the bills that I have this week. We look forward to seeing you all. And with that, I'll pass it back to Casey. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. All right, let's transition into question and answer time. If you'd like to ask a question, as a reminder, press star 9. And then when you're recognized, please state your name and your city. And while we're waiting on the questions to roll in, for Ledge Action Day attendees, we will have a list of the committees that are meeting this week. When you're here for Legislative Action Days, then we will flag all of the big bills that we've talked about, and then others that we learn about as agendas are released later this afternoon and tomorrow as well. All right, first question.
Hi, everyone. Thanks very much for your help. This is Ken Schneier. I'm the mayor of Longboat Key. I had two questions, and they're about things that I didn't hear about this morning. One is, I don't think I heard any discussion of the $25,000 increase to the homestead exemption, and I'm wondering where that stands at the moment. And the other question has to do with what I believe is Senate Bill 812, which is the expedited permitting. And I think I saw that, and I don't know if this was the change, that it will only apply to municipalities that are larger than 30,000 people. I don't know if that was the one that was the, you know, 3 days to respond or the request is approved. So those are my two questions.
Sure, Mayor. The first question I'm going to kick to Charles Chapman, and then after he's done, I'm going to kick it to, I believe, both are going to stay with Charles. We have two competing building permit bills, and Charles and Jeff have been working hard on them, but Charles is going to handle both of these. So take us away on additional homestead, Charles.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor Schneider. So on House HJR 7015, that would be the additional 25,000 exemption. The fiscal impact number came out incredibly high. And since that number was posted, we have seen very small to little, no movement on 7015. That doesn't mean that it is dead. It just means that I think they're holding it back. I don't think that we will see much movement on it because we're seeing so much movement on HJR 7017, which is the CPI increase to homestead exemptions bill that I reported on out earlier. We are not stopping work on HJR 7015. We still need to keep the gas pedal down on that one to make sure that it doesn't get brought back in some other fashion or form moving forward. So on Senate Bill 812, which is the expedited approval for residential building permits by Senator Angolia, it does apply to municipalities of 30,000 population or more. We are having active conversations with Senator Angolia to try to refine that to address populations of 30,000 or more that are essentially built out. The hard part with that is there's not a definition for what is built out. And so we are working in a gray area of the law right now with the proponents of the bill to try to find a reasonable measure for what is a built out city so that cities don't have to create a program that they'll essentially never use.
And the big takeaway there is that if your population is under 30,000, it doesn't apply to you. And so I think that was your question, Mayor, is, you know, knowing that Longboat, I think, comes in under 30,000, the provisions that Charles just discussed wouldn't apply.
Yeah, no, that was my purpose. Obviously, if it negatively affects other communities, we would not be in favor of it either. But I did want to make clear whether that was the bill that was the troublesome one. But thank you very much, Charles. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right, last call for questions. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you'll press star 9 and state your name and your city. Hopefully, you're all busy, eyes on the road, driving to Tallahassee for the Legislative Action Days. And we'll see some of you later today. And so I don't see any more questions rolling in. Oh, we got one in right at the buzzer. Next question. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Robert Stewart, City of Orlando. And I guess what I'm asking real quickly is I came in about 5 minutes late. Would you do a quick recap of the next 48 hours and what you expect from us?
I'll keep it high level, Commissioner. There are a lot of bills on the agenda. We expect attendees that are coming to Tallahassee for legislative action days to educate their members on all of the big bills that are out there. We'll send a summary out that lists some of the bills that we've talked about today. But in a nutshell, every single revenue source is under attack. There's legislation filed to either reduce or eliminate every major revenue source that a city has. There's bills that increase your expenses, one of those being sovereign immunity and increasing the city's liability. And then there are bills out there that make it harder for you to raise revenues if your city needs to. And so the big message to legislators, I think, is let us work, let us do our jobs. We are having success. People are flocking to Florida because of the quality of life that we create in cities, and let us do our job. I think that's the big message we want communicated to the legislators, Commissioner.
All right, perfect. And timing, I know tomorrow's morning's a big day in registration, and tell me about today and Wednesday.
Sure. First, this afternoon, we have a Know Before You Go session starting, I believe, at 5:15. An important side note on that is that you can get in and register early today or get your packets early before you hit the real rush of trying to do that tomorrow morning before the legislative briefing. We have a legislative briefing that starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow in the City of Tallahassee Commission Chambers, where you'll hear a conversation with each of the lobbyists and what we're working on, where we need your help, and some of the backstories on working these bills that we've talked about. Wednesday, there's an FLC board meeting in the morning. I believe the Florida League of Mayors have a board meeting as well. And then that's really a day to go and be, meeting with legislators, whatever, whoever you couldn't get to on Tuesday. And then also, I think, sitting in on some of these committees where we'll have big bills up and either putting in a card to wave in support or wave in opposition if it's a bill that the league opposes.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I'll see you in about 2 hours.
Yes, sir. Safe travels. And we have another question that snuck in right before we were going to call it. The next question, go ahead.
Hi, this is Commissioner Penny Gold, also from Longboat Key. I have a note that we are in support of the Alternative Mobility Funding Systems Bill by Senator Martin and Will Robinson. And I'm not sure I understand what that does and why the FLC is supporting it. I noticed there was some language in the description that said that limited municipality involvement in portions of it. So I just wanted to have a better understanding of the bill.
Sure, Commissioner. I'll kick it over to our resident expert, David Cruz.
Hey, Commissioner. Good morning. In quick summary, this is an issue that has been supported by the League's Policy Committee dealing with land use and economic development. And it has been one that has risen to the top issue for the past 2 years for that committee, and then adopted as a priority issue for the League of Cities. The quick summary is that the legislature in 2013 authorized the ability for cities to transition from traditional impact fees to cover transportation concurrency to a new system called mobility funding. And that allows for cities to address very creative means of getting citizens around. Things like sidewalks, electronic trolleys, and bike lanes could all be covered by those fees. What has happened, though, as cities have started to transition to that methodology, there has been friction between the county and the city. Essentially, you're left with cities talking mobility fees, counties talking impact fees. These two different languages don't necessarily interact well together, and there has been a lot of confusion and uncertainty because the statute that created mobility fees didn't have a lot of necessary clarifications in place. The bill is looking to add those clarifications, add some very needed definitions, and then clarify who is going to be the sole source of collecting a fee when the building is solely located within your city jurisdiction. The bill would say it's the city is the one in charge of collecting the fee.
All right. Okay, I understand. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have two more questions, but we're getting near the end of our half hour here, and so we'll take two more questions and then bring this plane in for a landing. So next question, go ahead.
Okay, this is Commissioner Elliott, Wildwood. I'm just wondering if there are any thoughts, comments on Senate Bill 1032 or TMS 2401 that, number one, eliminates the MPOACs and calls for revisions of transportation funding within the state.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to kick it to Jeff Branch.
Hey, Commissioner Elliott, Jeff here. Look forward to seeing you if you're on your way. Senate Bill 1032 has to do with the MPOs. The House version is 7049. Neither of these bills, well, the Senate bill has not been heard in any of its three committees. The House bill, I don't believe has been heard. What this bill would do is replace the MPOs under the Department of Transportation, gets rid of the MPOAC Advisory Committee and places it under DOT itself. And then by 2025, it requires Lee and Collier County's MPOs to do a study weighing the benefits of consolidating those two MPOs under one larger MPO and not having separate MPOs by 2025. And then the bill will prohibit any new creations of MPOs with the exception in urbanized areas. So as of right now, we are monitoring the bill. Neither one has been heard in any of its committees.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good question. A final question here.
Hey, Casey, it's Kim Glasscaster from Lake Park. For those of us who are here—
Good morning.
Good morning. What room numbers are the committee meetings today? Or should I just swing by the league offices and pick something up from you?
Yes, so swing by the league office. I can tell you that for sovereign immunity, which is up today in the Senate Governmental Oversight and Accountability Committee, that's going to be in the 301 Senate Office Building. For the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Cybersecurity Incident Liability Bill, that's Senate Bill 658. That's going to be up in 412 of the Knott Building, which is adjacent to the Capitol.
Right.
But we will have a comprehensive list that we'll email out shortly. And then I would encourage everyone to come by the league office. If there's anything we can do to help you, we have a team here to try to make sure that you are in the room when all these big bills are getting discussed. And so we can certainly help you out if you swing over to our office right by Harry's downtown. So thank you for the question, Kim, and look forward to seeing you. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing everybody later this afternoon. As a reminder for those heading up, our registration desk opens at 12:30 today and is open until 5:30. We will kick things off at 5:15, though, for our Know Before You Go session. We're going to have a great week, and you're going to help us kill some of this bad stuff that's out there. So thank you very much. Have a great day.